For development organizations, the meetings are a time to discuss some of the unfinished business of the G20. At a meeting in London last month, its leaders pledged $1 trillion to the IMF for loans and other assistance to help cushion the developing world from the effects of the global financial crisis. But some questions remain. Activists say, for example, that the G20 promised $100 billion from multilateral institutions like the African and Asian development banks, but did not specify where the money would come from. They also want clarification on how proposals made by the G20 would work. One is the issuing of $250 billion worth of IMF reserve currency called Special Drawing Rights, or SDRs, to nations needing funding for cushioning the impact of the global financial crisis. It's estimated that nearly $19 billion would go to low-income countries under the plan and $60 billion to middle-income countries like Mexico and Brazil. SDRs, which are worth about $1.50 or one British pound, can be exchanged for the leading currencies, including the dollar, the euro, and the yen. The IMF would distribute SDRs to states according to the size of their voting shares within the institution. Soren Ambrose is the Development Finance Coordinator for ActionAid International, based in Nairobi. He says larger industrialized economies, which have a larger percentage of votes on the IMF's executive board, will receive more SDRs than poorer countries.
What that member country can then do with it is they can withdraw the money, cash it in for real currency that you can use in the real world outside of the IMF, and the only thing that they have to pay on that is a regular interest charge to the IMF as a fee for that conversion of the currency. The catch is that they have to keep paying that fee on an annual basis until they replenish the money. The special drawing rights are a good idea and one that should be moved on quickly. That would be even better if the rich countries could find a way to transfer the rights to the countries that need it most.
The G20 also agreed to sell over 400 tons of the IMF's gold reserves. The move is expected to yield up to $11 billion, with a portion of that going to help finance developing countries.
But in talking with officials at the IMF, what has not yet happened is setting up the complicated vehicles inside the institution so that they can convert that gold and the proceeds they get from selling it into money that they can use for low-income countries. At this point in time, as I understand it, they are only allowed to use that money for IMF purposes, to pay IMF staff or to replenish IMF accounts for internal use. So there's still work to be done. This is something that could be taken care of very easily at the spring meetings of the IMF. They could get together and say, we're writing a new rule book on how these gold proceeds can be used. But no one has taken the initiative to start to make that happen yet.
The IMF also has a program called the Flexible Credit Line, which grants emergency loans to countries with strong financial track records. Borrowers would not be required to meet IMF-mandated changes in their economic policies. The plan allows the borrower unrestricted renewals and up to 5 years to repay. But development specialists are concerned that the money may go only to medium-sized economies and bypass the poor countries that need help the most. Jesse Griffiths is the coordinator of the Bretton Woods Project, an NGO that acts as a watchdog to scrutinize and influence the World Bank and IMF to improve their impact on developing countries and the environment.
And the problem is, of course, which countries will be able to access this credit line? Well, only stable enough to access it. So Mexico can access it, and Poland went a few days ago. But it's very unlikely the IMF will allow the poorest countries in Africa or in South Asia or in Latin America to access the flexible credit line. Instead, they will get the traditional IMF lending, which comes with very austere conditions in terms of cutting budgets, in terms of raising interest rates, which is exactly the opposite of what they need to be doing at the current time.
The IMF says it has introduced reforms called standby arrangements that would provide flexibility in lending to poorer countries. But Griffith says they, too, would come with preconditions not imposed on wealthier states. At the spring meetings, many development activists will advocate for the IMF and World Bank to issue funds to poor countries as grants rather than loans, which they say could lead to a second debt crisis in Africa. Today, Africa owes about $400 million to donors, though relief efforts have alleviated the debt of several of the poorest countries on the continent. Activists are also encouraging the IMF and World Bank leaders not to link new funds to austerity measures normally prescribed for borrowers, like cuts in public spending and an increase in interest rates. They say the measure would likely lead to cutting the safety net to the poor and to deeper recessions. They would rather maintain or increase social spending in areas like education and healthcare instead. I'm William Eagle in Washington.